Hope you listen to the message to that song. There we go. Get rolling tonight. And appreciate the hard work, the investment on our music tonight. God bless you, ladies. Thank you for working hard and presenting a great song to us with a great message behind it. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Proverbs 22, 1 Corinthians 4, Luke 16. Can you find all of those? You got enough fingers? Now, up north, they would say fingers, but here it's fingers, right? All right, Proverbs 22, 1 Corinthians 4, Luke 16, if you would please. Now, you're going to need your Bible tonight. If you're visiting with us on Wednesday nights throughout the year, the messages have been along the line of controversial issues. Now, we've covered a whole slew of subjects already this year, and so I'm not going to rehash those. Some of those subjects are subjects, you know before you ever stand up that's going to kind of hit a nerve. This is one of those tonight. It's probably going to hit a nerve. But it's okay. I found out you just take some leave and move on down the road, right? And so sometimes things are going to hit a nerve, but it's all right. We need to learn from the Bible. And then if we need to change or make adjustments, we make adjustments according to Scripture. Did you find your place? Proverbs 22, 1 Corinthians 4, Luke 16. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? Proverbs 22, verse number 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So what are we getting out of that? The borrower is servant to the lender. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, now it's not my intentions to preach on stewardship tonight, though some of it will be. I'll touch on stewardship a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is suggested. Moreover, you have a choice in the matter. No, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, what, church? Stop. Faithful over what? What is a steward over? A steward is someone who oversees that which is God's. That's what a Christian steward is. See, sometimes we think that everything we have is ours. You have nothing, just like I have nothing. We are a steward over that which is God's. And he says, so moreover, it is required in a steward of those that I put in management over that which is mine, he said, that person is to be found faithful. And then Luke chapter 16 and verse number 1. Luke 16 and verse number 1, Jesus speaking says, and he said unto also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had, oh boy, look at this, wasted his, not the steward's, the master's He said, somebody's wasted my goods. Somebody was a poor steward over that which was mine. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into thy house. I want you to notice in verse number 2, he says, give an account of thy stewardship. And the reason I want us to read these verses out of Luke chapter 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is because in order to grab a hold of the issue and the subject matter tonight, you have to understand this is part of stewardship, what we're going to talk about. And that goes back to Proverbs 22, the borrower is servant to the lender. And what I want to speak to us tonight, church, on this subject, to be or not to be in debt. To be or not to be in debt. Father, bless our time, if you would, and teach us, we pray, from the Word of God tonight in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Church, can I say that in our society today that debt is highly encouraged? It's encouraged everywhere you go. It's encouraged on commercials. It's encouraged on the billboards. It's encouraged by the ads that you get it through the mail. Everybody wants you to come and spend money with them and get in debt. Now, the thing about it is, they're not really concerned about who's paying what. They just want you to come buy something. And so debt is highly encouraged in our society today. We live with it, and almost in every aspect of our life, we're faced with debt to some degree. Now, I want to say this about stewardship, and I'll come back to debt here in just a minute. Stewardship defines, church, our practical obedience in the administration of everything under our control. Now, what we are given as stewards, we're given the things of God. Now, one of the things that we're given to be a steward over is our finances. And God does not want us to make unwise investments that have nothing to do with eternal value. And so he says, I want you to be a good steward. And stewardship, church, acknowledges in practice that we do not have the right of control over ourselves or our property. God reserves that for himself. Now, we're managers of that which belongs to God, and we are under His constant authority as we administer these affairs. Now, with that said, most people, Christians or non-Christians, are very poor financial managers. And everybody says, amen, they are. They're very poor financial managers when it comes to money. Now, I'm not a financial guru, don't claim to be one. And I may not be the best person nor do I claim to be the best person to be an advisor in this area, but I do know this. The Bible does teach some wise instruction about financial debt. And there's a reason that God teaches about debt in the Scripture. And the reason being is because He has a purpose for you and me, and that is to propagate the gospel around the world. And if my money's tied up in me, I'm not going to be able to help do that very well. And so I've got to make sure that I keep my finances free enough so that I can take care of the needs that God has put me as leader of my home and care for my family, and then take and invest much into eternal things and the things of God. Now, my purpose in addressing this subject tonight is twofold. First of all, to help us see the complications that debt brings. Amen. Now, I'm going to get into some factual things in just a minute. By the way, most of this stuff, you can go online, you can find it yourself. It's there. And you know what? It's on secular sites. It's not even on Christian sites, most of it. Because you know what? The secular world, the secular financial advisors and counselors know that what debt does to individuals and what it does to their home and to relationships. So I want to help us to see the complications of debt, and then I want to encourage you to become debt-free, so that you can free up more of your funds to support missions and to support the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, folks, I found out that when you die, you leave it all behind. Okay? So you might as well do some eternal investing while you're alive, because after you're gone, those that you leave it to may not think the way you think. And they may not use it for eternal value. Now, I'm going to give you a statement that you've heard many times from the pulpit of this church, but you need to write this down and you need to log this in your mind. Here it is. When your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. Okay, let me say it again. When your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. Now, let me give you a couple of things here to think about. Debt, all right? What financial debt does. First of all, it causes family tension and strife. Listen, if I have counseled out of the years that I've been in ministry, if I've counseled on anything, as much as any subject, it's been over financial issues. It causes family strife and it causes tension in those areas, because what happens is you've got more outgo than you've got income. And so, therefore, the upkeep becomes the downfall, which then causes problems. So we've got to be careful about debt. Secondly, it leads to a great number of tragedies. Number one, it's one of the leading causes of suicide in America. Finances, connected to finances. Number two, it leads to a great number of divorces in marriages today. It takes people, listen to me now, it takes people out of church and out of God's will. You say, how? Prove it. Because people have to work 2 and 3 jobs to pay for their toys. Amen. Now, I told you, this is not going to be one of those fun swinging from the chandeliers, but you know what? We need to hear this because we're guilty of it. And so the thing is, what it does is it takes us out of church and out of God's will. There are people tonight that are out of church for no other reason. They don't have to work. They work because they want to work, because they have to pay for their toys. You say, like what? Well, my goodness, we can't get along without cable, right? Amen. That's all right. Hey, I'm just saying that we've got toys, and listen, I've got my toys. But you know what? I'm not going to take from God, and I'm certainly not going to take God's time to pay for them and rob God and take out His time to go do it. You see, it takes people out of church. And so what happens is they spend all their time working to pay for these things that for the most part, a lot of times, are unnecessary, and they make no time for God and no time for church. And what happens is the next thing you know, now we got family problems, and it all started with finances. It all started with debt. Next, it leads to bankruptcy, which then what happens impairs your credit and your buying power for years to come. The next thing that debt does is it hinders your giving power toward the gospel and the ministry of the local church. Amen. It hinders. Listen, folks, the thing about it is I found out that eternal investment pays eternal dividends. I found that temporal investment pays temporary dividends. And the last thing that I remember, I think I remember Jesus saying that I'm not to lay up treasures on earth, but I'm to lay up treasures in heaven, because that's where eternal dividend is. And if I'm in debt all of my life, I can invest in the things of God like I need to and like God wants me to. Now, take your Bible, go to Romans 13 and verse number 8. Remember, we've learned in our studies how many verses that so many people just absolutely butcher out of context. Now, remember, we've learned that people read the Bible totally different than they read any other book. Now, you wouldn't pick up a book. If you went to the Barnes and Nobles or wherever and you bought a book that you saw advertised, your favorite book, you wouldn't pick that book up and go read the last chapter and say, boy, that was an excellent book. No, you wouldn't do that, because you wouldn't understand how they came to that conclusion without reading the rest of the book. Well, then let me ask you this. How do people come to conclusions when they don't read the book? What they do is they read a portion of the book and they come to some conclusion that's not biblical. And they use Scripture out of context. And I want to look at something. You've heard this quoted 1,000 times just like I have. All right? Romans 13:8. Are you there? Here it is. owe no man anything. You ever heard that? You ever heard that in connection with debt? All right, look, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, folks, listen. If you go back and read the context in which this is written, and if you'll go back and read up verse number 7, it says, render therefore to all their dues. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about authorities. He's talking about law. He's talking about civil government. He's talking about those in authority over us. He said, render therefore to all their dues. What is that? Tribute. To whom tribute is due. You say, what's tribute? You ever heard of the IRS? It's called taxes. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in paying taxes. Well, I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's still biblical. It's a biblical principle that you pay taxes. And then he goes on and says, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. And then he says, owe no man anything. And yet we want to take just that verse and that phrase and teach abstinence from any debt. Now listen to me. Follow me with this now. You say, I believe you ought to be debt free. And if you're in debt, you're out of the will of God. How many of you have a cell phone bill? You're in debt. You are. You're indebted to that cell phone company. How many of you have electricity? Water. How many of you pay your trash? How many of all the folks, listen to me. I don't care what the financial gurus teach. That's still debt. So what I'm saying is to say that Romans 13 and verse number 8 is abstinence from all debt, I think is taking that way out of context. Now, should we pay our debts? Yes. And I believe without question that that verse is teaching that if there's something owed, you ought to pay it. If you have a car payment, pay your car payment. If you have a mortgage, pay your mortgage. That's what he's saying. Owe no man anything. Don't walk away from it like you don't even owe it. That's what he's talking about. He said, don't leave something that you owe and just walk away like you don't even owe it. We'll get on something here in just a minute that will make everybody happy. Now, all I'm saying is many attempt to use this verse to teach total abstinence from debt. Now, in theory, it's a good thought in theory, but in reality, if you look at where we live today and the things that we do, listen, folks, if you pay your bills in a timely fashion, you know what? I don't think that you're wrong if you have a debt to a company as long as you're paying a bill, like a car payment, a mortgage, but pay it. That's what he's saying. It's real simple. Now, whether you believe in bad debt or good debt, I'm going to separate them into two things, okay? There is what I call bad debt. You say, preacher, what is bad debt? That's spending money that you don't have, listen now, nor will you ever have it to pay it back. Because you don't have the resources to do so. Proverbs chapter 10, look at that. You're going to need your Bible because we're going to flip back and forth between Old and New Testament tonight. Proverbs chapter 10. I'm going to show you some bad debt and then give you a couple of things here to think about. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Okay, how does a person get in debt? They deal with a slack, a careless hand, a thoughtless hand. In other words, they don't realize that you are going to have to pay back whatever you borrow. Amen. You see, bad debt is spending money that you don't have, nor do you have the resources to ever pay it back. You see, bad debt, church, is anything that exaggerates your level of living, listen now, beyond your medium income. In other words, when you look at your paycheck and your outgo exceeds your income, that's bad debt. And normally, you know what I find out we get into bad debt over things that we don't need? And then what happens is we come to pay the bill and half the things that we see on the bill, we can't even remember even buying them. Amen. Now, let me give you some bad debt and how it's occurred. Number one, credit cards. Now, let me just say this. It is said that the average credit card debt of an individual that has a credit card in America is $40,000 on a credit card. How would you like that at about 19.9 or 21.9 or 22.9? Folks, you'd never pay it back. You see, what I'm saying is that's bad debt. Now, folks, listen, I'll be honest with you. If you have a credit card, which I do, I have one right here. Oh, look what it says on there, Bass Pro. Isn't that something? Now, but you know what? Whatever goes on there, when the bill comes, it gets paid. Okay? You know why? Oh, no man. Anything. So I pay him back. So Mr. Bass Pro, or actually Mr. Visa, or whoever I got this through, I guess it was Outdoor World, whatever it is. And so I pay, oh, it's Bank of America. I see it on the back right there. So I pay it back. You say, well, preacher, you can't operate in today's society without a credit card. Yeah, you can. If you can't keep out of debt, you can. Because I promise you, if you can't, if you have no self-control and you cannot control and you are a spontaneous spender and you just cannot control, you know what? You don't need that. Now, let me tell you what I call credit cards. Credit cards are credit and debt parasites. You know what this card loves? It loves to be used. It loves to feel wanted. It loves to be loved. And you know what? Every time I go into one of these outdoor stores or fishing stores or third place I go, I mean, it's just throbbing here. And I'm going, just hang on. Hang on. We'll be there in a minute. Now listen, what we do, listen, we go and we just scan that, and listen, we don't even think about it. It just happens so spontaneous, and then we get the bill and we're like, what? I didn't charge that, I didn't put that on here. See, half the things that are on our credit card, we don't even remember buying. So credit cards are debt parasites. Let me show you something. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Okay, Matthew 5, verse 29. Matthew 5, verse 29. Let me show you a principle here Jesus taught. He said, if thy right eye offend thee, what are you to do? Get rid of it. Now, let me make an application. If you can't handle the credit card, what are you to do? Get rid of it. He said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, what are you to do? Cut it off. It's a principle. You get rid of it. So you know what? If you got a parasite, you want to live the rest of your life with a parasite? Get rid of it. Why? So that you can get out of debt and free up those funds so that you can do something of eternal value and invest in the things of God. Credit cards, bad debt. Number two, turn to Proverbs 23:4. Proverbs 23:4, the second area of bad debt I want to cover is status symbol purchases. Status symbol purchases. Proverbs 23 and verse number 4. Proverbs 23:4, look at this. All right, Proverbs 23, as soon as I get there, there it is. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Now, the next area of bad debt is what I call status symbol purchases. You say, like what? That's like overpurchase of a vehicle or a home. You know what? You need to buy just as much vehicle as you need. You need to buy just as much home as you need. You say, but I want to keep up with the so-and-sos. Well, you may not make what the so-and-sos make. Okay? So, you know what you need to do? Buy enough car that you need, enough home that you need. You say, but what am I going to do with all this extra money? How about internal investments? How about home furnishings that we buy beyond our ability to afford? How about hobbies and toys that cost our family essential needs? Listen, we'll go buy something for ourselves for a hobby that we have, and you know what? We won't change the air filters for a year. Amen. You know, well, I'm sorry, I ain't got no money to go buy any air filters. Well, we got enough money to pay for our toys. Amen. I told you, boy, it strikes a nerve. Isn't your back already, it's that sciatic nerve. Don't you feel it? I'm talking about status symbol purchases. I'm talking about making purchase for nothing more. Folks, listen, you know what that is? It's just pride. That's all it is. It's purchases of pride to try to have a status or make a status statement among people. Look at the next one, Proverbs 22:7. The rich ruleth over the poor, we've read this, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, I'm going to touch right here, and you can take this for what you want, but I wrote down here because I think this is important to mention. Family loans. I'm talking about loans within your family. They may be the worst kind. Now, folks, you better listen to what I'm talking about. I've been around this long enough to see it. This has caused siblings to not even talk to each other for years. This has caused parents to be separated from their children because of a family loan. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. You can take my advice or you can leave it. It's too risky, and my policy is I'm just going to give it to you without any strings attached. It's not a loan. It's a gift. And that's the way I operate in my family. If they say, well, here, I'm gonna loan this to you. No, I'm going to give it to you. And hey, if you give it back, I'm not going to ask you, but if you give it back, wonderful. If you don't, then you know what? I move on down the road. That's how you need to deal with family when it comes to finances. You don't want to be in debt to a family member. I'm telling you, you're going to, listen, we fight the devil enough. Why would you want to create another crisis? Don't create another crisis in your home. Listen, just take the spirit that if you're going to give family members money, just give it to them. Don't loan it to them. Now, you say, preachers are good debt. Well, I threw these under the category of good debt first to think. I think good debt is only good if you can afford to pay it off in a timely manner. Okay? Good debt is only good if you can afford to pay it off in a timely manner. You say, what would good debt be? That would be things like affordable living demands. You like to live in a place, I'm assuming you like to live in the place you live, right? You like a roof over your head. Most of you like some form of transportation, whether it's a car, a motorcycle, a bicycle, a moped, a skateboard. You like something, don't you? You see, affordable living demands. You say, what if I go buy a house and I get qualified for a certain loan and stuff? Listen, the thing about it is, then you know what? Buy a house you can afford. Owe no man anything. Now, the thing about it, the greatest thing would be to save money and pay cash for it, right? But I don't think that it's sin. I don't think you're out of the will of God. If you purchase a home, you purchase a car, just pay it. And if you can't afford it, don't get it. I'd rather walk than owe somebody or go into debt with somebody and not pay my debt off. All right, so affordable living demands. Number two, educational benefits, such as tuition. You see how much college costs these days? Now, listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just saying, but folks, we need to teach our kids that student loans and student grants, you do have to pay them back. Okay? This isn't free money that they're just throwing up in the air for you to catch and just get what you want. No, you have to pay them back. Listen to me, and you ought to pay them back. If you got the education, you owe that debt. Owe no man anything. Pay it back. Educational benefits. How about medical needs? You know, there's a lot of things that people incur debt because of medical situations they didn't plan on. What if every hospital said, we're not going to care for you unless you can pay us $5,000 or $3,000 or whatever. You know what? You're going to have to go move on down to the next hospital. But you know what? They're not going to turn you away at the emergency room if it's an emergency case. But you're going to incur some debt in there. You ever seen hospital bills these days? But you know what? You ought to make arrangements with the hospital and pay it off. Okay? Get out of debt. Now, let me give you some questions I think that many of you may have that need an answer, all right? And we'll finish this thing up. First of all, now hold on here just a minute, okay? Because I'm going to go against what some financial gurus teach. But you listen to me, you better stick with the Bible over some financial guru. Here it is. Should I stop tithing to pay off my debts? Do you know there's some Christian financial people that teach that it's okay to stop tithing to pay your debts off? You know what? Listen to me, folks. I respect them, but they're nuts. It's not wrong to do right to do wrong. You don't, listen, why should God's work have to suffer because of our carelessness? You don't stop doing what God's commanded us to do to give and support the work of God so that I can pay off my toys. You know what that would have been like? That would have been like Jesus getting about halfway up Calvary and saying, you know what? Crazy, man. I'm not dying for y'all. You know where we'd be today? On our way to hell. You know, the thing about it is, folks, you keep doing the right thing, and then you know what? You work with your creditors to make sure that, listen, the scripture principle is give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men given to your bosom. You see, the thing about it is, you don't stop tithing to pay off your debts. You give, and it shall be given. Tithing is a command of Scripture, not an option because of my financial crisis. Let me give you another question. If I get so far in debt, should I file bankruptcy? Well, turn to Ecclesiastes 5 for just a moment. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Would y'all consider Solomon pretty wise, old boy? Now, the thing about it is, he made a lot of mistakes in his life. And you know what he did in Ecclesiastes? He recorded them all. He said, listen, you don't want to do this. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 5:5. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not what, church? Pay. Now, I want you to listen to me, because some of you may have gone through bankruptcy. If you have, there's not a whole lot you can do about it right now, but can I say this to you? Bankruptcy is not a wise choice. It's not. You see, you say, but that's what's going to happen to my credit rating. You ever seen what happens to your credit rating if you file bankruptcy? You see, you say, but I'm so far in debt. Well, then you know what? Dig your way out. How about start applying some biblical principle and you'd be amazed at what would happen in your life. You see, we should pay what we owe. It's our personal responsibility. To every person that we bought something from, we still owe them that. We still owe them that money. You see, church, listen to me. Bankruptcy causes your financial obligations to be deferred to someone else that didn't have anything to do with your purchases. But you say, well, they should check my credit. They shouldn't even have sold that to me. Well, maybe not. You shouldn't have bought it either. So don't file bankruptcy to get out. Listen, I've heard people say, so, well, you know, I'll just file bankruptcy and be done with it and get out from underneath that debt. Okay. Not paying what we owe is a characteristic of the wicked. You say, where is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I want you to look at it. Go over here. Here it is. Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. That's pretty plain, isn't it? You know what making purchases and going to debt with no intentions of pay? That's the attitude of a lost person. That's the attitude of a wicked person. But look at the rest of the verse. The righteous showeth mercy and, oh, look at that last word. What does he do? He giveth. That means, you know what? If he has a debt, he pays it off if it takes him the rest of his life. He gives. He shows mercy. Why? Because he knows that his creditors are not the ones that are at fault. It's his fault for getting in debt. Now, let me address another question. Should I borrow money? Should I borrow money? Well, we found out here in Psalm 37, 21, that God's not against borrowing money. Matter of fact, when you go back into the Old Testament, you'll see them borrowing and loaning all the time over there. But here in Psalm 37:21, did you know he said, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. And in the same context, who does he compare the wicked to? The righteous. So obviously he's talking about a borrowing situation. You got two people borrowed money, one paid, one didn't. Who's the guy that God said is wicked? It's the guy that didn't pay. The guy that went into debt and had no intentions of paying. And so, should I borrow money? Well, I think there's three unhealthy reasons why you shouldn't borrow money. Okay? Number one, when you become impatient. Impatient. Can't wait. Listen, I've got some hunting gear, and I've got some nice hunting gear. But you know what? I waited until I had the money to buy it. I had a perfect illustration. I have a 50 caliber muzzle loader. And the plug on that thing broke last year. I was trying to get a thing, and that thing broke off, and I was kind of bummed out over it. But I didn't have the money to buy it, so I said, I ain't going to mess with it. I'll just wait till I got the money to buy it. And through long story short, through birthday and Christmas and all these wonderful things, you know what? I had enough money along with gift cards to pay cash. And I walked out of Bass Pro with a better muzzle loader than I had before because I waited. You see, borrowing is not a wise thing when you become impatient because I can't wait. I've got to have it right now. Well, you may not need it right now. Number two, another unhealthy reason to borrow is materialism. I need it. I want it. Boy, I tell you one thing. You ever walked around your favorite store and you thought, man, I could use all of this? Yeah. Materialism. That's not a good reason to borrow. How about acceptance? People like to be accepted, don't they? They like to drive around in fancy cars or wear fancy clothes. Listen, I remember as a kid, we used to go to the store, and of course we were, you know, wore blue jeans and things like that, and we'd go over and look at the Levi's. Say, man, these Levi's, this is nice stuff. My mom said, put that down. We'd have to go over to the Kmart brand, you know, where the color of the jeans are about the color of the blue on that flag, you know, and there's no fancy emblem, you know, right here on the back, and all the kids at school, you. But you know what? You know what my mom and dad learned? There's a principle here. You get what we can afford. And my parents in that day, blue jeans are blue jeans to them. It wasn't to me, but it was to them. But they bought what they could afford. Now, you say, why do you want to borrow? Well, the thing about it is, tell me what your motives are, and I'll tell you whether you ought to borrow or not. Is your motive to drive around the fancy car, buy the biggest house, wear the nicest clothes that you can't afford? Then my suggestion is, don't borrow, because you don't need it. Now, all I'm saying is, should you borrow? I think the only reason that you ought to borrow is if you have the means to pay back what you borrow and you have the resources to do so. Let me give you another question. Should I be expected to pay interest on a loan? Should I be expected to pay interest on a loan? Now, I got to hurry. Luke chapter 19, I got chasing a rabbit there. It's all right, we killed him and cooked him, right? Luke 19. Got all these kids, got school tomorrow. I got to hurry up. They're going to hold my feet to the fire. Luke 19, verse 23. Okay, remember the story here about the steward that had 10 servants and he gave each a pound and they went out and one got 10 pounds, one got 5 pounds, and he comes to one guy and he said, here's your pound back. Now, this is what Jesus said to him. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with, see that word usury right there? It's what we would consider today interest. Now, if the Lord expected to make interest off of his money, then you know what? For companies to operate and stuff, they got to make money somehow. You know how they make money? Interest. It's a business thing. And you know what? The Lord is not teaching bad business. He's teaching good business. And so, or should I be expected to pay interest on a loan? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with somebody charging interest on a business loan. You say, well, what about a personal loan between Christians? I'm glad you asked about that too. I want you to look at something. Are you there? Let's see. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Matthew 5, 42. We got to hurry. I got one more question. We got to get out of here. Okay? Matthew 5, 42. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, I want you to write down a couple of other scriptures. You can read them in your spare time. Deuteronomy 23, 19 and Proverbs 3, 27. The principle taught there is between brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're going to loan a brother money, you're never to charge him interest. Why? Because you don't want him in bondage to you. Because the borrower is servant to the lender. You say, but he's borrowing money. Yeah, but the thing about it is all he's going to pay back is what you gave him. Go check me out. That was the principle taught in Scripture. Brother to brother, there was never to be interest charged among a personal loan between the two of them. Let me give you one other question. Should I co-sign to help another with their debt? Should I co-sign to help another with their debt? Proverbs 22. Turn there. Proverbs 22. We'll finish up right here. Proverbs 22. And listen, if you're new to the Bible, you say, man, I didn't know all this was in the Bible. Oh, boy, you can be amazed what's in the Bible. Proverbs 22, verse 26. Be not thou one of them that strike hands. Now, if you're not familiar with that terminology in the Bible, strike hands is to shake hands and make an agreement. Okay? To him that strike hands, or them that are sureties. See that term, sureties? That means that you will assure, what does it say? For what? For debts. That's co-signing. What that is that someone else goes into debt, but you go in there as a second party to the debt that if they can't pay, you pay it. Now, should a Christian do that? Well, first of all, let me say this. Look at verse 27. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? He said, why would you get involved in something like that? He said, but I know them. You know how many people that I've had co-signed that said, well, I thought I knew them. Well, I thought they knew her. Hey, listen to me. This happens a lot in families. And mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas get burned. Amen. You better think about it before you do it. You see, it's not a wise choice because you have no control over the circumstances guiding the payoff. Look at Proverbs 17 quickly. Proverbs 17 and verse 18. Just flip over a few pages. A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friends. You see that void of understanding? A lot of times we do it. And listen, look, help me out, mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters. Do you know why we co-sign? Because we do it emotionally. Because we want to help the people that we love, and many times it comes back to bite you. Now, if you choose to co-sign, and you listen to me, then you better have the resources to make the payments. You better have the resources. Now, my opinion is the Scripture teaches very carefully it's not a wise thing to do so. Because many times you're going to incur debt, and then what happens, there's hard feelings, on and on and on. Now, lastly, to stay debt-free is the wisest and safest route. Now, if you can pay cash, praise God. If you have the patience to wait and pay cash for everything, then you what? You're going to be a man and woman of peace. And you can sleep at night and enjoy wine because you don't owe anything. So if you can do that, wonderful. But we need to be patient financially. It's always going to pay great dividends. Debt-free living promotes family peace and joy. And God's plan for your finances is to invest it in eternal dividends rather than temporal. Here's the last verse I want to give you. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen now. Where your debt is, that's where your heart's going to be. It's not going to be on giving to the things of God. It's going to be on concern and worrying over how you're going to pay it off. And it will take your attention away from the things of God. So to be or not to be in debt. The safest thing to do is not get in debt where you cannot pay, because when you do, your outgo that exceeds your income, then your upkeep will become your downfall. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. How many can say, "Preacher, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, no question about it"? I want you to slip your hand way up high, say, "That's me." All right. Wonderful. Good testimony. You can put your hands down. Father, would you meet with us tonight? And thank you for our study. I hope that...